Good afternoon, everyone. It is 1:30 p.m. on April 19th, 2022, and time to reconvene the regular meeting of the Snohomish County PUD Board of Commissioners. I'm Toni Olson, Board President. In accordance with the Governor's Proclamation 2028-15, we are holding meetings remotely. I have with me this afternoon Commissioner Rebecca Wolf, Vice President, Commissioners Sydney Logan, Secretary, John Harlow, CEO General Manager, Ann Spangler, General Counsel, Allison Morrison, Assistant Clerk of the Board, and Jenny Rich, Deputy Clerk of the Board. The written record will indicate others who are present. Please mute and turn off the camera on your devices when not speaking. I will ask for questions or comments on agenda items as each item is discussed. Comments will be limited to 5 minutes. Some questions can take longer to be answered, and we will need to follow up on them for you. Please indicate if you would like to speak by clicking raise hand, or if joining by phone, dial *9, and attendees will be called upon to speak at the appropriate time. Commissioners, do we have any items to be added to this afternoon's agenda?
Yes, we need to add a settlement of a claim as item 4B under items for individual consideration. And then I have a quick comment I'd like to make in item 6A, if I could.
Under 6A. You going to remind me when we get there?
I will.
Thank you. The meeting is being recorded. When addressing the board during the meeting, state and spell your name and indicate where you're from. Comments from the public this afternoon will be agenda item 2 on the and. That is when the board will hear comments for items that are not on today's agenda. Again, those comments will be limited to 5 minutes. Please note that all motions receive a silent second from the board. This ensures that all issues can be brought to the floor for discussion. I will now move on to agenda item 2, comments from the public. Melissa, do we have anyone joining us from the public?
We do not have anybody with their hand raised for questions or comments.
All right, thank you. We will move on to agenda item 3, the consent agenda. A, approval of the minutes for the regular meeting of April 5, 2022. Bid awards, professional service contracts, and amendments. C, consideration of certification, ratification, and approval of district checks and vouchers. I'll call for a motion.
I move approval.
Commissioners, do you have any questions or comments regarding the consent agenda?
I have none.
Commissioner Wolf?
Commissioner Wolf, you're muted.
Mr. Wolf, you're on mute.
Okay, on page 8, there is an amendment of $114,310 on the original contract of $224,442 relating to a capital improvement at the Highway 9 crossing water main project. So my only question is, what was the date of the original contract? And it's a two-part question. What was the date of the original contract amount, and why is the amendment needed? I'm sure there's a good reason, but I'm just interested.
So this is Brant Wood, AGM of the Water Utility. I don't have the date right off the top of my head, but I can tell you what the amendment was about and why it was required. So we went out to bid to replace a crossing of Highway 9 at 32nd Street. And it was a board. So it's bored with high density polyethylene, 16-inch casing with a 12-inch carrier pipe in it. So it's really expensive. It's it's almost $1,000 a foot for the pipe. Had to push back from the time that we were permitting the neighboring facility, which is a commercial operations, put in a sign. So we had to push back about 50 feet on one side and another 60 feet. So it's like 130 some, I'm going off memory, so I apologize, Commissioner Wolf, about 130 feet, but that 130 feet, you know, at almost $1,000 a foot was wow. It's an expensive change for not that much pipe, but it is big pipe. It is the casing, 16-inch casing and a carrier pipe for the water in the middle of that. So it is expensive, and we had to push back on both sides.
Well, thank you. That's very interesting. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Commissioners, do we have any other questions on the consent agenda?
I have no more.
None.
Allison, do we have any hands raised or anyone in the queue from the public that might like to comment? All right. I'll then call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion passes. We will move on to agenda item 4B, settlement of a claim. I will call for a
4A. I think you missed the sheet.
No.
You are correct. We are now on agenda item 4A. I turned the page too soon. Consideration of a motion accepting the fourth quarter 2021 financial conditions and activities monitoring report. I will call for a motion.
I move acceptance.
We have Julia Anderson with us who will provide us with a presentation. Good afternoon, Julia.
Good afternoon. So this is a presentation for the fourth quarter monitoring report, financial and budget results. Typically we're a little bit earlier in the year with this, but we had a couple of technical difficulties with the report. And as we finished up year end, we wanted to make sure that the numbers were firm. So just wanted to let you know why you're seeing it at the latter part of April instead of the previous meeting. Okay, here we go. Again, this statement is a statement of operations for our electric and generation systems. And as of the end of the year, you can see that the net income for electric and generation increased approximately $28 million as compared to 2020. And was what appears to be about $78 million higher than what was anticipated for budget. And we'll get deeper into these numbers as we go through this report and explain some of these larger variances that you're seeing. Total operating revenues for the year were about $30 million higher than last year. And also we were about $46 million greater than budget. And moving on to total operating expenses, the operating expenses appear to be consistent with prior year. Again, we've got some accounting processes that we went through, some of which Olga mentioned earlier in her presentation related to the GASB financial reporting for net pension liabilities and assets. And so I'll dig deeper into those explanations as we continue on. So looking at our retail sales were about $25 million higher in 2021 and about $39 million greater than budget. The primary drivers of these increases were the extreme weather that we had in 2021, excuse me, As you remember, we had some extreme heat in June, and then we also experienced some extreme cold in December. And those were driving those numbers for the retail sales. Wholesale sales increased about $4 million over the previous year and $6 million more than budgeted. And part of that is because the volumes sold in the wholesale market, while they decreased for the year, the rates that we earned for those sales was slightly higher than previous years. And then other revenues has remained pretty consistent with prior year. It's up a little bit, $1 million over last year and about $2 million more than what was actually budgeted. So digging in a little bit more into the megawatt hours billed, which is driving some of the revenues, you can see from this graph that we have, the blue represents 2021 and the orange represents 2020. Again, you can see residential is pretty consistent. It looked like from the previous slide that the retail sales were up, and especially residential, significantly. But when you actually compare percentage, get down into the weeds with the percentage and do a bunch of accounting analysis, they're actually pretty close on residential. The biggest driver for the change again is in the wholesale area. And you can see that the prices were significantly higher this year, but the volumes were lower than last year, less to be sold into the markets. Moving on into our operating expenses. This is looking at our operations and maintenance. This is where it does appear that we are fairly close to last year. When you take operations and maintenance and purchase power and combine it all together, those numbers look almost the same as prior year. However, this in 2021, we did have this accounting change that we needed to record related to the net pension assets and the district's proportionate share of PERS plan 2 and 3. And what that resulted with, that resulted in about a $43 million reduction in our liability. So it brought our O&M costs down and it made it look like we were very consistent with prior year. But in actuality, our O&M costs, taking that out of the equation, we are up a little bit over last year. Approximately $12 million of that is due to weather related incident storms and emergency work, and then other cost increases for the year. So that explains that big variance that you're seeing in the decrease in the O&M. It's really a non-cash item that we're having to book for accounting regulatory purposes. And then moving on and taking a look at purchase power, you can see that our purchase power costs increased about $21 million in the current year over prior year. And again, this is due to some of the weather incidents that we had during the year. So on our megawatt hours for our power supply chart, again, you can see that BPA block is running pretty consistent. Slice is a little bit, the volume is a little bit less than last year and the price is a little bit higher. And again, the biggest changes in the market purchases comparing 2020 to 2021, buying higher, larger quantity in the market at a little bit higher price. And again, because of those weather factors that we had in June and December.
Julia, did Slice go up because we had less of it?
I would want to double check with the rates group on that. Slice is a pretty complex calculation for the cost related to it. And I wouldn't want to speak out of turn on that.
Yeah. Julia, this is Jason. And Commissioner Logan, I believe you're, what you're saying there is generally true. It's kind of a fixed cost, but then the amount depends on the actual amount of runoff that we get. And last year was a lower water year, which you see reflected there on the graph. And it was a very dry spring last year. So we just didn't see the water that we normally see in the spring.
Thank you.
So moving on to some additional information. Other income and expense increased about $7 million as compared to the prior year. A lot of this is due primarily to change in our investments and our PUD, our portfolio, and how our investments are maturing and then being reinvested. And typically we keep a fairly conservative portfolio here at the district. So you will see some swings in other income and expense, interest income, and those types of items related to that portfolio. Capital expenditures increased about $10 million over the previous year, and were about $3 million more than budgeted. And some of these costs are just related to some of the supply chain cost increases that we're seeing, not only within the PUD, but you know, throughout the entire economy as well. So bringing it all back in to perspective, putting all the pieces back together. As you can see, there's a lot of green in the total operating revenues. That's good. And then on the net income, again, it's over the budget significantly. And that is because of that that big $43 million net pension adjustment that we needed to do. We don't typically budget for those. They're hard to predict which way they're going to swing. And so you can see it impacted the net income in comparing our actuals for last year to current year, as well as the budget. But dollar for dollar in actuals, we were much closer to budget than what this chart predicts. Moving on to the financial indicators. Again, the district has continued to show some really strong financial indicators. You can see there is an increase in project reserves and outstanding bonds, and that was because of the new issuance of debt in second quarter of 2021. So nothing out of the ordinary here and nothing unexpected.
Julia, on the previous one, how low does the current ratio need to get before it's of concern? And is there a range that we try to
1.7
keep it at?
I was whispering to myself.
1.7.
Sorry, I heard two voices.
I apologize.
Typically, if the current ratio gets down into the 1.2, 1.25, we might want to be concerned. I think what you're seeing here, where we've gone from 2.3 up to 2.4 and then down to 1.8, we made some very conscious decisions. I believe it was at the end of 2020 to move some of our current longer term investments. We made some investment adjustments and moved items out of current into longer term. And that's why you're seeing that decrease there. So While it does look like it went down, that was a conscious decision by finance division staff to make some changes in the investment portfolio.
Thank you.
And then moving on to the rest of the operating indicators. You can see total megawatt sales for the year are slightly lower than last year. Net write-offs and the percentage as well as the dollar figures, those are starting to shift and change a little bit. Those are some things that we've talked about in the past that we would see them. They were significantly lower in 2020 because of responses for COVID. Mm-hmm. And as we move back towards what might become our new norm, we have talked about that we would see those start to increase. We're starting to see some bankruptcies that are actually being filed and closed accounts that are going through that bankruptcy and long-term collection process. So that's where the changes are that we're seeing there. And then total active customers, as you can see at the end of the year, we're up over 370,000 customers. Moving on to the water system. Again, the water system had a very strong year. Net income is about $279,000 higher than the previous year and about $3.3 million higher than what was budgeted. Total operating revenues, again, looking at actuals, about $866,000 over the previous year and just under $1.6 million as compared to budget. And total operating expenses increased a little bit over prior year, but then varying a little bit from total budget as well. Capital expenditures for the water system increased about almost $3.5 million over last year. They, again, with the response to COVID in 2020, and then getting back into doing quite a bit more capital work in 2021, you can see the increase in the capital expenditures. And it was slightly less than what was budgeted, but still a pretty busy year capital-wise for the water system. And then again, the water system, like the electric and generation system, continues to have show some really strong financial condition indicators. We are seeing a slight increase in the outstanding water system debt. Most of that is related to the ongoing work for the Warm Beach water system, which was expected. And then again, a comparison of cubic feet sold and new active customers. They're creeping very, very close to 23,000 customers. So hopefully by the next report, we might have broken that 23,000 mark for the water system customers. But again, very strong results for the water system this year as well.
I don't see anything.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's the end. I was just waiting for any questions. That was the last one.
Okay. Sorry about that. Commissioners, do you have questions on the report?
No, thank you.
I have no more questions. Thank you.
I just have, trying to find the page. Oh, slide 9. This doesn't reflect the bond rating, the recent increase, is that a timing thing? Or does it reflect it? And I just didn't get it. On page 9.
There we go. I'm sorry, your question is related to
We were recently upgraded by one of the agencies.
Correct. We were upgraded in Q1 of 2022. So you will see that on the first quarter monitoring report.
Okay, got it.
I'll be back in a couple of weeks and you'll see it on that one.
Wonderful. And I hate to ask this, but can you explain to me, and I don't remember which page it was, there was some kind of part of an increase on the paper had to do with adjusting or some kind of accounting thing. Can you explain for me that That I went right over my head. I'm sorry.
Yes, let me see if I can. So our Governmental Accounting Standards Board writes regulatory accounting processes that the district has to adhere to as a public entity.
Yeah.
And one of those standards that they have written is related to net pension assets and liabilities mm-hmm. of each entity for the retirement assets and liabilities of their employees. And so because Snohomish PUD participates in the Washington State PERS program, Public Employees Retirement System program, we have a percentage of that program that we are responsible for financially. And as a result of that, we have to record what they would refer to as our proportionate share of either those assets or those liabilities on our financial statements. And so for 2021, PERS 2-3 plan, they combined those two plans for reporting together as one plan. In 2021, those plans were deemed to be what they would call a net pension asset. And so we had to, as we recorded that asset in our financial statements, the offset of that was a reduction of our PERS liability. And that's where the $43 million adjustment, it's recorded into the operations and maintenance of the district, spread over the three systems that we have, water, generation, and electric. But you see the major portion of it on the electric and generation system because of the majority of the employees report directly to those two systems. So it's what we would call a non-cash transaction. But when you record that as a reduction of your operations expenses, then your net operating income increases because it looks like you spent less money than you did.
Okay. Okay. And thank you very much. I should have known that, but I didn't. No,
it's very complicated. It can take a long while to get your head wrapped around it.
So, thank you.
You're welcome.
Do we have any other questions, commissioners?
No, I have none.
Do we have anyone on the line, Allison, that might be interested in? All right, great. Thank you. I will now call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion passes. We will now move on to agenda item 4B. Settlement of a claim. I'll call for a motion.
I move to approve the proposed settlement of the workers' compensation litigation between Jose Canales and Snohomish County Public Utility District Number 1 in accordance with the terms and conditions set forth in the confidential memorandum from legal counsel for the district to the CEO General Manager dated April 12, 2022.
Do we have any questions or comments on this item, commissioners?
I have none.
Well, my only comment, I think our legal team has done a fabulous job working on this with outside help from someone who knows this business very well. And so I appreciate the work that they've done on this.
I will then call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion passes. We will move on to agenda item 5, CEO General Manager Report. John, do you have anything to report this afternoon?
Yeah, I've got a couple of things I'd like to share with the commissioners. First up, a big shout out to a line crew made up of our foreman Jeff Fenney, lineman Jake Gadeski, Matt Little, and Matt Little, equipment operator Phil Schomenhauer, and apprentice Casey Donovan for going down to Colowitz County for mutual aid support this past week. A snowstorm knocked out power to thousands of their customers, and our crew went down and did a great job and got many accolades from Colowitz for their help to get their customers restored. Also in our D&E group, our vegetation management department participated in Arbor Day this past week. Team did a great job working with kids to plant trees and to celebrate. And the district was recognized for the 19th straight year as a Tree Line USA recipient, which is a pretty big deal. Out of our HR group.
John, I want to mention, Commissioner Wolf, were you not representing the board at that?
I was, and it was a joy to do that.
All right.
I planted 7 Norway maples and a beautiful tree. I think it's called a Deodora. I had never heard of that, but it's one of the most beautiful trees I've ever seen. And
thank
it's
you.
In a part of Everett where they really need some uplift.
Thank you. John, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Please go ahead.
No, good interruption. Thank you for participating in that, Commissioner Wolf. That's fantastic.
My pleasure.
Our HR group, this week, approximately half of the HR team will begin a course in Agile HR, which is an HR-focused continuous improvement methodology. Agile HR will assist in identifying and improving HR processes with a focus on the business, efficiency, and team PUD. This methodology will support the HR team as we continue to build on our successes. The other HR team members will take this course later in the year. And our employee relations team kicked off our SMART goal training this week for senior managers. This training will enable senior managers to train other managers and employees to identify and write their own goals, as well as equip them to work with their staff to set goals. Identifying and tracking goals will now be the focus for the district and the primary measure on performance evaluations as we move through this year and into the future. Out of our customer and energy services group, a couple great accomplishments. First, our community assistance customer service team has approved an additional 350 households receiving over $400,000 in rental utility assistance. This recent group of customers includes 44 pledges directly to the disconnect imminent customers to prevent disconnection through our streamlined process. To date, this partnership with Snohomish County and Workforce Snohomish has seen 1,764 households receive $1.581 million in assistance. So that is just amazing. And this past week, there was an influx of 60 customers into our Everett or electric building office on Monday, the 11th, which was the first day our offices were opened up for walk-in customers. Customer traffic fluctuated between 20 to 30 customers per office per day for the duration of the week. Additionally, the vast majority of transactions, 70-75%, continue to be payments, and as it was prior to the pandemic. Taking all things into account, the data indicates last week's total customer traffic, both electric building and our community offices, was about 11% of the 2019 or pre-pandemic traffic. And we have a graph that we'll be able to send to the commissioners that is tracking our walk-in traffic as we have opened up the, again, the electric building and the community offices for our walk-in customers. And that's one last thing I was going to mention. We had a great week last week on our DEI efforts. Sherelle was here, had a number of different meetings with different groups, met with the senior manager group, our inclusion committee folks, and we are getting ready to roll out our action plan over the coming weeks on the specific initiatives that we will put in place to address some of the gaps that were identified through the assessment over the past 2 years. So a lot of great work coming to fruition and getting ready to really make some significant strides with our DEI efforts. And that is all. Open for any questions.
Well, John, this is Commissioner Olson, John. So you're going to continue to track walk-in customers at our various sites?
Yep.
Local offices, because it will be interesting to see over time what that is.
Yeah, I agree, Commissioner. Absolutely. We'll want to track and make any adjustments as necessary hours, days of the week, things that we want to continue to accommodate our walk-in customers and certainly the customers across the service area. but with a focus continuing to be on efficiencies and effectiveness.
Yeah,
in
doing. Yeah.
John, this is Commissioner Wolf. When do you think you might be able to share with us the kind of a progress report on the DEI program with Sherelle?
Yeah, great question. We're planning to have Sherelle come back and actually do a report out to the board on all the progress that has been made to date and the path forward. So we'll get that on the schedule as soon as we can make that work.
Great, thank you.
Well, thank you for bringing that up, Commissioner Wolf. John, you have no other reports? That was it?
That is it.
Oh, great. Well, those were good reports. We will now move on to agenda item 6, which is commission business. 6A, commission reports. Commissioners, do we have any reports?
Well, I had a comment I wanted to make. The other day, I was driving north on I-5, and a PUD tractor trailer was in the right lane. And I'd actually never seen one of our tractor trailers. It was the big low boy. But the thing that was really notable was that the driver really had appropriate falling distance. I think the rule is, when I was a bus driver, I think it's 2 seconds plus a second for every 10 feet or something. And the driver was adjusting as vehicles pulled in front. And I have to say, I don't know that I've ever seen a semi in traffic that wasn't falling too close. So I appreciate it. And Commissioner Olson, it was clean. Because I know you like
you
clean,
must be able to read my
vehicles,
mind. I'm
but
so
just,
proud.
You know, a
when
shout
I...
out to our safety program and to that driver and
yes,
I think that makes an impression with the public when you see that. So it made an impression with me. Mm-hmm. That's all I had.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that.
So I have just a huge thank you relating to the Arbor Day program. First of all, the whole veg management team did a fantastic job. They were so good with the kids, working with them with the shovels to plant those trees. But I personally need to give a big thank you to three angels who stayed with me at the end when I discovered that I had left my lights on. My battery was dead.
Oh, no.
So I called my company that comes to rescue me. And it was a wait of, oh gosh, at least a half an hour. And I know that they were going into overtime. But I want to thank Randy Packabush, who was the leader of that team, and Colleen and Maddie, who all stood there with me in the cold, in the breeze, shivering until the guy came to jumpstart my battery. And it was very embarrassing. But, you know, they actually arrived about the time I did, and I was so excited to greet them, and I forgot to turn off my lights. So, and a Prius is a little more complicated to do.
Yeah, that's true.
So I just want to mention that they were awesome, and they are my three angels for the week.
Do we have any other reports, Commissioner Logan?
I have no other reports.
Is this where I would make a request, or do I wait? Commissioner events, I guess I have a request relating to a future event.
Well, we're on, yes, we're on our events planning calendar.
Okay. Just 1 second. Let me pull up the information. 1 second. I spoke to Allison about this, our wonderful clerk, and she recommended that I bring this up today. On April 26th in the afternoon, after the workshop on the lower Snake River dams, there's going to be an event. It's called a Northwest Conversation on Small Modular Nuclear Reactors, Ventures, Opportunities, and Challenges. And apparently it costs $30, I believe. But I need to know more about these SMNRs because CGS number 2, our nuclear plant, I mean, CGS number 2 is really invested in the future of these. And honestly, when people ask me about them, I don't think I have a deep enough understanding of these new small modular nuclear reactors. So I request to be able to attend that. And it's being put on by Clearing Up, and we all subscribe to that, and we get reports from Clearing Up.
I did see that, Commissioner Wolf, and it's a nominal fee. So I do think it would be helpful. I'm not available at that time, but mm-hmm. I did pick up on that. Commissioner Logan.
Yeah, I think I've been through several presentations of small modular reactors, and I think it's interesting technology. And just for clarification, you know, Energy Northwest talks about them, but they're not talking about ever constructing one. They're talking about operating one for others is what they're. There's a couple of organizations that are looking to build.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's interesting technology. I encourage you to take it.
And Commissioner Logan, I would be very interested in hearing from you, you know, after you go to these meetings, if you have any updates or any new information about this. I was under the impression that some of the staff are very involved in supporting the grants for these. Is that, do you know if that's?
I don't know. That would be something the executive board would know, but I don't know. And I've learned about them mostly from, I think it was a PNUC presentation, maybe, or it was a PPC presentation two or three years ago.
Well, anyway, thank you. I would appreciate your support on this.
Wonderful. Good to go. We'll add it to the calendar.
And that's April 26th from noon, 12 noon until 1:30.
Okay. Do we have any things we need to add to this other than Commissioner Wolf's item changes?
I don't have anything.
Okay. And actually, most of those have happened. All right. Let's then move on to our planning calendar. Do we have any? Any items that, let's see, we've got a lot of changes, things moving around. I had three items I wrote. I made notes, unfortunately, in shorthand this morning. So I'm going to be bringing it up at our next meeting in terms of things that I think we might want to consider putting on the pending so that we can really dig in and zero in on a time frame. To discuss them. One of them happens to be the retreat, but I will cover them at our next meeting. I need to transcribe my shorthand.
Commissioner Olson, if I can interrupt, there's actually an item 6C that's not in our, not in my script anyway. It's our resolution we do every other year when there's a seat open on the commission.
You are correct, and it's not in, it's 60, you are correct. It's not on our script.
Yeah.
That's correct, Commissioner Olson. The resolution does not get put in the script. If you have your agenda, or I can read it for you for the motion on the vote on that.
Why don't you read the agenda for us?
Sure, the consideration of a resolution announcing the office of Public Utility District Number 1 of Snohomish County to be filed at the next general election.
I will entertain a motion. I will entertain a motion of approval.
I move that we approve the resolution authorizing the Office of Commissioner for Public Utility District Number 1 of Snohomish County to file this resolution at the next general election. That seems awkward. Does that work, Allison?
Yes, I read the consideration of a resolution. We just need a motion and then a vote.
Okay, I make a motion to approve the resolution. Correct. Yes.
Any other comments, commissioners?
No.
I will call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion passes. And I think I've already talked about the governance planning calendar, and I'll bring those back at our next meeting.
Okay, good.
Do we have any other business to come before us this afternoon?
I have none.
John, commissioners?
I have none.
I have none. It is now 2:15 p.m. and we are adjourned.